Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it is open lines, your guys' calls, stories of the undead, and we'll also do a round of Ask Tony and Jenny, some brand new questions posed by you guys. And we'll talk about the new video feature of Ask Tony and Jenny, the expanded version.
Expanded version.
That was kind of spooky.
It just sounded weird.
I thought you were saying expunded version.
No, expanded version.
Expanded version that we use video cameras for, those moving images and all that fancy dancy stuff. A little bit later on in the show here at realghoststoriesonline.com. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802 to call in your real ghost story and share it with us. Of course, you can also write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Whenever I start doing the show, I get the cough.
Stand up.
That does seem to help.
Yeah, you told me that helps.
Sometimes when I stand up, and then sometimes also when I stand kind of like that stigmata pose with my arms behind me, and then I walk like a spider around the room during the stories, that seems to help with the cough too.
Oh, okay. Whatever works.
Yes. 855-853. It'd be great if we could do that with a camera. Now,
neither one of us are flexible enough to do
that's
that.
That's true. I would injure myself very quickly.
Yes.
And I want people to get back up. So let's go right to one of our first callers for the day, Shelby. Hi.
Hi, you guys. My name is Shelby. I'm calling from Kentucky. I just want to start off by saying that I think that you guys are providing the best outlet for people who experience the paranormal to kind of become validated if they don't have another method to become validated, like they can't speak about it to anyone else. I think it's great what you guys are doing. And I'll also say that I've been dealing with, paranormal for as long as I can remember. It kind of runs in my family to be sensitive to the paranormal, so it's nothing that I'm not used to. And this actual occurrence has been happening since I was only 18, and I'm 21 now. But this started when I was 18. And I actually talked to one of my friends about it, who has also experienced the paranormal, and she thinks that my specific case might be an incubus. And I haven't heard anything on any of your podcasts about anything like this so far. So the ones that I've listened to anyway. So this might be a little bit odd compared to the stories that you usually get. But whenever I was about 18, I started waking up in the middle of the night. I would go to bed fully clothed, and I would just wake up in the middle of the night and, my shirt would be off or my pants would be off. And then it kind of escalated into me waking up in the middle of the night with all of my clothes off and my blankets, thrown off of me, and, my clothes just thrown all over the room. And it's not I was getting hot, sweaty, because I tend to keep it very cold in my room because, you know, you get a better sleep when it's cold, and I just like cold environments. So it was nothing like that. And then it kind of started escalating into me waking up, you know, maybe not with clothes on and with bruises on my body, like on my wrist or my hips or my thighs or my chest and things like that. And then I kind of got used to not sleeping with clothes on, and I was like, well, maybe I'm taking my clothes off in the middle of the night because I don't want to wear them. So sometimes I would just go to bed with no clothes on. And then the next morning, I would always just wake up, and I would not feel like I had, you know, any, like I hadn't expended any physical energy during the night. But whenever I would go to bed with clothes on, usually I would wake up with more bruises, and I would wake up just exhausted, like I had ran a marathon, like in my sleep, you know? So I would wake up like that every night, and it started really freaking me out because I also feel like it wasn't something that I was doing to myself. Like I wasn't hurting myself in my sleep, and I wasn't, you know, running into something, being clumsy during the day and just waking up with bruises, you know, anything like that. And it started freaking me out a little bit. And I had noticed that I would feel this energy in my bedroom that, you know, was obviously not a normal energy. But I would never see anything, which is weird because usually people with incubuses will wake up with this dark figure on them in the middle of the night or see it in their room somewhere. And I never saw that, but I felt a presence. So I don't really know if it is that, and I don't really know what it is, period. But like I said before, like I'm sensitive to these things, and I know that it's not just me hurting myself. And it would follow me around as well. Like, it all started at my dad's house, and then it would happen at my mom's house and my grandma's house. But if anyone was sleeping in the bed with me, it wouldn't happen, and I wouldn't take my clothes off, and I would sleep normal. And it also happened in my dorm room at college, and, you know, even with someone in the room with me, but she was also very sensitive to the paranormal, so maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know, maybe it was more comfortable around her. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I just thought that maybe I would share this story with you and see, you know, what your guys' opinion of it was, or, you know, if you decide to share it, see what any other people's opinion of it was. But I'm very interested to see if you guys share it and to see what people have to say about it. So thank you in advance if you do, and I will definitely be calling back with more of my experiences at a later time. So thank you.
So what do you make of that?
Well, I'm curious as to, she said it started when she was 18.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it waited till she was 18 before it started messing with her.
Okay.
I just think that's kind of odd. I would think if it were something dark, it would have started earlier. I don't think it's a good thing, but it kind of makes you wonder if, is it really an incubus, or is it a demon, or is it just a pervert ghost?
The factor that's most interesting is the whole wearing clothes, not wearing clothes thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why is it that triggers this thing?
Well, it's like it tries to get her clothes off of her.
Yeah.
And that process seems to expel so much energy that she wakes up tired, but
yeah.
If she saves it the trouble, then she can actually get a decent amount of sleep. But I don't know why it's giving her bruises. Very interesting.
And she doesn't seem to know why her clothes had come off or anything of that nature. It's just there.
Yeah.
If I were her, what I would do is, in my own room, set up a camera,
mm-hmm.
and watch and see what happens to me during the night. See what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Now, don't go and show this to other people, just for her own knowledge. So she can see, you know, what's going on. Is she contorting in some weird ways or something, you know, that would cause the bruising? What is going on,
mm-hmm.
you know, that this is happening? Or is she just getting up, taking her clothes off, and going back to bed, not realizing it, you know? I think that might answer several questions.
Yeah, I would start there. And, you know, if you do see something odd,
yeah,
let your family know, I mm-hmm. guess. I wouldn't go showing it to everybody, but just to see what then to do.
Yeah, because that, you got to start and try and figure out what actually is going on.
Why do you think it would wait until she was 18 before it would start messing with her?
I don't know. I don't know that 18 really plays a role in it other than it just started to happen then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think, I don't know. Because, I mean, if we're talking about a pervert ghost waiting till she's of age, you know.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Do you think it's a pervert ghost that's still playing by the rules of legality and death?
It would be one powerful yeah. ghost to be able to get her to get her clothes off.
Sure.
I don't know. I just found that part very interesting.
It is an interesting factor to the case. I personally don't know if it just happens to be that's when this started. I don't know.
I don't know.
Very, very odd story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. And if you'd like to weigh in on that, of course, you can always do that on our message board, or you can also write or call into the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to Carrie.
Hi, guys. This is Carrie. I haven't called in a very long time, so I thought I would call and tell you something that recently happened. I don't know how paranormal you would consider this to be, but for your callers that have, you know, been around for a while, they're aware of some of my past stories and maybe aware of some of the bad things that happened to me while growing up in this particular house that I grew up in. Eventually that house was torn down after it had caught on fire. The house was destroyed, and now it just sits an empty property and has for years. That being said, my sister has a little girl who is getting ready to turn 15 months old. And she is just, well, I think she's brilliant, but, you know, I'm partial. But she does and says basic baby things. You know, she jabbers. She knows mama, dada, papa. She calls me nanny. You know, she knows basic words like that. But there are some words a 15-month-old is not going to have in her vocabulary. I get a call the other day from my sister basically panicking, and she tells me that her and her daughter were in the car and they were driving past the old house or the lot where the old house used to be, and her daughter had been jabbering pawpaw, pawpaw in a sing-songy voice because they were going to go see her pawpaw. And they drive past the lot, and all of a sudden, her daughter stops what she's saying, turns her head, points her little finger to the empty lot, and says, "Demons." Where a 14-month-old come up with the word demons, I have no idea. And why she specifically used it at that time when she was pointing at that empty property, I don't know. I'm not surprised in the least. You know, the things that went on in that house, the negativity, the hurt, the pain, even though the house is not there anymore, I think it could definitely leave an imprint on the property. And, you know, I would never suggest for anyone to build anything where that house was at, ever. And if they asked me, I would tell them that, because I think that whatever's there is still there. And I think that she's so young and innocent that she was able to see it. Because how else would she even know the word demon at 14 months old? So, yeah, like I said, I'm not sure if you want to consider that paranormal, but with the history of the property, you know, the abuse and everything that happened there, I just thought that that was more than a coincidence, that that's the very moment that she stops and says, "Demons!" So, anyway, I'm not sure if you'll play this or not, but Tony and Jenny, you know, I've been there for a long time with you guys, so you're probably more familiar with the background of my stories and everything than some of the newer callers. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, so I hope that you guys are doing great, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay. Now, I know we've heard her stories before. Can you give a little background on what some of the...
Yes, I think it was towards the end of summer last time we heard from Carrie.
Okay.
And she went through some pretty horrific abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think her mom was into some dark things. If I'm remembering right, I believe at one point she was doused in gasoline and set on fire by somebody in her family. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
Okay, so that's Carrie. And Carrie had called in several times and given us several stories. And I think she even wrote in. So any of our new listeners that want to go back, I think it was towards the end of summer, maybe early fall.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kinds of things that went on in that household. So I'm not at all surprised that there would have been something dark involved. Maybe, you know, I believe her mom was into the Ouija board pretty heavily as far as trying to use it to manipulate people. Not just a, hey, let's talk to whoever's out there, but trying to use it for a bad purpose.
Sure.
So for the little one to point where the house used to be and say demons, I think there's your answer.
Do you think that it's one of those things where it's literally demons are there still, or is there just such bad energy at the property from the things that went on there at the hands of a human that still is resounding, and an empathic child picked up on that more so than like literally demons hanging out there still? Or you know, are there still demons there?
I wouldn't think they'd still be there. I would have think they would have moved on. Mm-hmm. I don't think they are bound to a lot or a house the way, you know, more pedestrian ghosts tend to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it may be the baby was feeling the negativity.
Sure.
Energy. She may be a very strong little empath. I would be curious to watch her as she grows up to see if she starts to pick up on things.
Yeah.
Because I do believe that Carrie's very sensitive. So
sure.
It's somewhere in their family.
I would think that anyone who's empathic, still as an adult, going to that property, not knowing the story, you would still feel some sort of residual, whether it there being no ghost there at all anymore, or mm-hmm. demon or whatever. Just that resounding what happened there.
Yeah.
Would have made an imprint on the aura of the area?
I would think so.
So, very interesting interesting story. Thank you for calling in. I certainly think it's paranormal. It's always interesting to hear what kids say.
Mm-hmm.
Kids say the darndest things. Demonic edition.
Yes.
I'd love to see that one come back as a little special, you know. This Sunday, after America's Funniest Home Videos, Bill Cosby hosts Kids Say the Darndest Things. Didn't he host the original one?
I think... Art Linkletter did.
Okay.
And then he did it later.
Was Dick Clark one of them too?
I don't know if Dick Clark was or not.
I don't remember. There was like that kind of rotating circle of hosts for shows like
that. I'm thinking of the right person. Art Linkletter, right?
I don't know.
That was the name?
I honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that was who did it, like when our okay. parents were young and watching.
I just wanted to see the demonic edition.
Right.
Where they're talking about spirits and horrible, horrible things. And then have absolutely no memory of it a couple of years later. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Jill in Indiana. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was calling because I heard Jenny say on the March 21st show that she likes to hear paranormal stories that have a little bit of a psychology slant to them. So I'll try to make this quick. I'm going to try to cut out the unnecessary parts. This was a while ago, a couple years ago, but my team was called in to a home investigation, and the home was mom, dad, teenage girl, 9-year-old girl. The 9-year-old girl was the focus. Teenage girl did not believe in ghosts or any of this stuff going on. Dad believed it because he had seen some things, but he was extremely religious, and I kind of felt like he felt like any activity in the house was because somebody was not, you know, was doing something to make God angry. That was kind of his whole. So his solution was to just keep praying, which hadn't worked for over a year. So mom took her 9-year-old girl, which was, the girl was seeing full body apparitions. She could hear them. She could see them. They were scaring her, even though that, you know, what she would say they were doing, spirits that she saw, wasn't scary stuff. It was still scaring her, because it's crazy. Mom did take her to a psychologist who said she had a lot of anxiety issues, obviously, but that there was nothing mentally wrong with her, like schizophrenia or something. They did take her to a physical doctor who did CAT scans and full blood works and several tests. Could not find anything wrong with her. And that's when mom called us. So we were to come into investigation, and the 9-year-old girl, I'll call her Jane, was going to stay with us because she's the one seeing it. So it was mom and Jane and us. Going through the house, we did go into the teenage girl's room, and which was unusual because the teenager, who was in complete denial of anything, her room felt really awful. And I went in and personally had a lot of problems in there. And then later on in the evening, another lady who I did not know was a sensitive also went in that room separate from me, and she had the same experience as I did. Most of it revolving around the closet. But the room itself was very happy, decorated like a teenage girl, lots of fun letters from her friends on the walls, normal stuff. But the feeling was awful and sickly and anger and hatred, and I did not like being in there at all. So we left that room because we couldn't get anything in there to communicate with us. It just felt bad. So we left that room, and when we got to mom and dad's room, the 9-year-old was sleeping every night with mom and dad. She would start in her own room, but end up in with mom and dad when something scared her. So the stuff that was happening to her was like something would grab her toes and wiggle them until she woke up, and she could still feel the hand on her, or she would see someone standing at the foot of her bed, and she would jump up and fly out of the room to mom and dad. Or she would hear somebody calling her name and telling her to get out. And if she pulled the covers over her head, they would rip the covers clean off her bed. Just not even tug them, just all the way off. And she would then run. So this was every night, almost. And she very rarely slept in her own room. So we were in mom and dad's room, and we were getting a lot of activity, which was odd, because the 9-year-old girl's room was where you would expect to, but it wasn't there. It was in mom and dad's room. So we communicated with it using flashlights. Then we used K2 meters, having it light the lights up, 2 blinks for no and 3 blinks for yes. And then we also had a ghost box running so we could hear. And it was using its own voice through the box, and it was a female voice. So it would toggle back and forth between which devices it was using. But even when it was speaking through the radio, the K2, which was measuring EMF, would also go off. So we had, you know, more than one piece of equipment corroborating at the same time. So we're asking it questions, and I'm trying to hurry through this. It would, you know, it came down to saying that it was a female voice that was coming through, saying that it was waking her up to protect her. And it was telling her to go and trying to, you know, scare her just enough to make her go to mom to protect her. So, you know, I don't know. Are you protecting her from the negative spirits that I felt elsewhere in the house, or from dad, or, you know, I don't know what's going on. And so, you know, we're questioning and we're questioning. And as we go, I noticed that that Jane, she's drawing her knees up. She's lowering her head. She's not crying or upset, but she's definitely drawing herself in. So I turn to her and I say, you know, is this too much? Do you want to leave? I can take you out. And she said, no, I want to stay. And she was very interested in it, very, you know, she wanted answers. So the questioning, being of a protective nature, I said, I turn to Jane, you know, her mother is there. And I say, do you want to tell me what it is you need protected from, or do you want me to keep asking the spirit? And she just looked at me with the biggest eyes, and she was scared. And I said, you can tell me what you're afraid of, what is it protecting you from, or I can keep asking it, and it will tell me. It wants to tell me. I'm just not asking the right questions, but I'll get there. And she got really upset and started saying, I can't tell you. I'll get in trouble. I'm not allowed to stay. And all, you know, my first instinct was, this is going to be horrible and it's going to tear the family apart. And I'm thinking incest or something. And the mother stepped up and said, you know, nothing you can say will make me mad at you. And you can tell me anything. And these are our friends. That, you know, they're here to help you. And she finally just broke down because the spirit actually was telling her, tell them. And she broke down and said that the 15-year-old sister was coming in her room at night, and she would pinch her really hard, pull her hair. Sometimes she would wrap her couple strands around her finger and yank them all the way out. She would cut them with scissors. Sometimes she would cut the girl's clothes just on the edges, just enough to terrify her and not leave too many marks. But she did have bruises all over her. And this was, she was terrified that, the, you know, her sister said, if you tell, I'll have to kill mom and dad, or, you know, I'll have to do, you know, kill you. Or, and she was saying the most horrible things to her. And this is her own sister. And turned out, you know, when we went back into the sister's room and searched it, with mom's permission, we found all the medicines that she was supposed to be taking for her bipolarism, and she has not been taking them for a very long time. They were hidden in a secret spot, which we were actually able to find using the K2. But it was, you know, we were able to help that family, and they did get help for the big sister, and it all worked out. But we were then able to, my husband contacted a well-known psychic who's the real deal. And that lady mentored the 9-year-old on how to control it and protect herself. And as far as I know, they still are. We still talk to them now and then, and we get, you know, Christmas cards back and forth with them. It's just a wonderful family. But it was one of the few times, it happens now and then, where what you think is going on, you think these spirits are torturing this little girl and scaring her to death every night, and they were actually trying to protect her. And it just, it was very heartwarming. And the mother was extremely grateful to what we referred to as her guardian angel. And it was a good ending. So I'm glad we were able to help them. And that's my story. So thank you for listening. I love your show.
That is surely one story that has a twist that you don't see coming.
Yeah.
I did not expect the sister to have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that the ghost was there to wreak havoc until help was sought.
I really enjoy her stories of, you know, coming from the perspective of someone who is essentially called in like a Ghostbuster,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you will, where it's not, I mean, because a lot of, I mean, I like all the stories we get, but it's fun to hear things from the perspective of someone who's going into these situations to investigate and to help.
Yeah.
And to try and figure out exactly what is going on, what's causing it, what may need to be done to get things to go away. I always enjoy her stories.
Mm-hmm.
So Jill, please do keep calling in with those. We really do like them here on the show. it's a nice balance.
It is.
To kind of get things from that perspective. And if you're someone who's into the ghost hunting, if you will, or investigating, we would love to hear your stories too. There's always a room for more of that as well here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Got a couple more calls to go through. Then we'll do our round of Ask Tony and Jenny. Let's go to Elena. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, my name is Elena, and I kind of have like a sad but sweet story to tell. So I'll get right into it. So when I was a little girl, my father found out that he was HIV positive when I was conceived. So we knew there was going to be health concerns growing up. And luckily, there's been no problems with me or my little sister. So we were good there. But when I was about 6 years old, so we're talking early 90s, he actually was diagnosed with a brain cancer that is relatively normal to fight off. Well, I was definitely a nice girl. So me and Dad, we were two peas in a pod. And so he got really sick, he started regressing, and he had to go into the hospital before he actually passed away. So right before that happened, he looked to my mom, and he actually said, my little sister's name is actually named after my mom's sister who died before my mom was even born. And all of a sudden they said, Penny, Ferris isn't going to be okay. And my mom at that point was like, what's this mean? What's going on? Ferris not here. She's at home. She's like, no, your sister who's been right next to you. And my mom just kind of shut it off. She's like, okay. Well, not too long after that, he actually did pass away. And being a little kid and losing your father is a horrible experience for a little girl. But we were handling it as much as we could. There was a story my mom actually told me a little bit later on that me and my little sister, we would actually be hearing our names called from downstairs where my mom would be at in the apartment. And she wouldn't actually be calling us. And we're like, what's going on? And until one of my mom's friends went and said, it's probably the dad, trying to get in strong contact with the kids. What you should do is go to every room in the house and say, his name and say, you're really scaring the girls. You need to stop. I know you want to get in touch, but it's going to scare them more than help them. And once that happened, we didn't have any experiences whatsoever until we moved from that apartment to where my mom currently lives. I actually was very curious, and I death was not uncommon in my family at this point, and I actually said, Mom, do you think Dad knows that we moved? And she just kind of shrugged it off and was like, yeah, whatever, and that was it. Later that afternoon, she went into the current bathroom of her current house, and all of a sudden she could smell his cologne very strongly, like almost to the point that it was sickeningly strong. So she had to leave the room, and then she was like, okay, I got to go clean it up because one of the kids got into the cologne because she had it sealed still because we were still kind of, getting rid of it stuff. And at this point, she goes back in no more than 5 minutes later, and the smell's already dissipated. And she checks all the seals to make sure that we didn't, something we weren't supposed to. And they were still sealed. There was no leaking whatsoever. There was no logical reason that we could actually come up with that there would be that odor in that room, especially with his cologne. Except for she kind of was like, huh, I guess that really does mean that he actually knows we moved. And ever since then, I've always felt like, I've had this, something protecting me. And it just, to me, that was enough to get me through all the hard times and all the bad stuff that, whatever happened, I always knew my dad was right behind his little girl, keep going through. But yeah, so that's one of my stories. I might call again, and yeah, so have a great time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. Do you think ghosts have a choice if they're going to emit a smell or not?
I don't know. I think it's probably a crapshoot, just like all their other abilities, it seems like.
I just wonder if it's one of those things where it's just there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes, you know, like for us, I mean, when you put cologne on or perfume on in the morning or something, you know, you're intentionally, you know, putting it on so you smell nice.
Yeah.
And then sometimes everybody just kind of has their own individual scent,
mm-hmm.
if you will, to a certain extent. And you can't control if that's being given off or not in real life.
Okay.
I'm wondering if that's sort of the same sort of thing in death, where it's that case where it's just, well, I'm here. I, you know, like at the very least, without even trying, they can sometimes be noticed that way.
I think probably, but I think you'd have to have a pretty strong individual odor for it to come through in death.
You never really hear about like a BO ghost, but when you do, it's always like, oh, it's a demon.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad smelling humans.
Yeah.
Out there too, that it could just be that too. Or what about the idea of this when you have the, oh, it's such a horrible stench that, you know, I was smelling in this house and then everybody goes to darkness. What if it's just a ghost that existed, it's a ghost of a person that existed prior to Speed Stick and regular, you know, ways of controlling odor, where basically all you had was, you know, you bathe, mm-hmm. but, you know, people were pretty smelly a while back.
Yeah, could be.
And that just may be all it is. And yeah. Here you thought you had a demon the whole time. You know, I mean, I kind of wonder.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have a variety of things. I even wondered if maybe, like in this story, if the cologne wasn't a residual
mm-hmm.
from him putting it on every day.
Sure.
And just something that just lingers somewhat.
Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. I really could. Very interesting story. Kind of makes you think about another aspect of hauntings. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Holly. Hi.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Tony. This is Holly again. I called initially a little while ago, and I wrote a story. I don't know if you've posted it or not. I haven't seen all your episodes yet, even though I'm an APP. Anyway, thanks a bunch. I love your program. It makes me feel normal, and also it's entertaining. It's interesting. I'm following up on my story that you shared on the podcast, because a couple of people, well, one person wrote something interesting, and I also wanted to explain that the experience I had with the cloaked figures around my crib was terrifying, believe me. It still scares the hell out of me when I think about it. But the thing that added to all that was I was dating this guy from Cuba, actually, anyway, and he was very witchy. He was into Santeria and other kind of interesting, I guess, well, religious, ceremonial type, traditional, oh God, rituals. I'm sorry, I'm flustered. Anyway, one day we were having this kind of like huge fight, and he was mad at me for being in a bad mood. I'd been in a bad mood for days, and he told me it's that black-haired woman. And I was like, what? And he said, you have an attachment to you. And I can't remember. He said this in Spanish, and my Spanish is bad, but eventually I figured out what he meant. But anyway, he said, there's this long-haired, evil woman who is attached to me and follows me everywhere and tries to influence me. So, I don't know. One of the people who commented on my story said they thought that I was a victim of SRA. If you knew my family, you'd know how impossible that is. We're like scientifically minded people, completely skeptical people. This is why me accepting all this stuff is so hard, because I grew up in an environment where all of this stuff was absolutely beyond belief. I mean, there's no way. And even though I've had many experiences, I still always have a hard time believing. I'm not making it up in my head. Anyway, that's not possible, but it is possible that the people who lived in the house before us were practicing. satanic rituals. And certainly this experience I had was way before the movie Eyes Wide Shut, so I wasn't influenced by that either. But he made me do this thing where I had to like lie down with my hands outstretched with palms up, and he made me focus on trying to draw her to me, because he said that if I drew her to me, then I could tell her to leave. And he did these other things, like he did protection ritual on me where he rubbed like an egg over my body, and he blew rum at me, and he tied all these different colored strings together and posted them around the four corners of my house, and used like cornmeal and honey and some other stuff. Anyway, it was some stuff I didn't understand, but he did these things to try to protect me. But I certainly have been plagued by depression and anxiety and really wildly angry mood swings my entire life. So I don't know. Maybe that woman attached to me during that experience in my crib where I saw that smoky hand coming down to greet me, because I can't explain stuff. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I'm babbling. I gotta go. Thank you. I love your show. I'll try not to call in too often because I'm more interested in what other people have to say. Thanks. Keep it up. Bye.
Thank you, Holly, for calling in and sharing your story with us. It's got to be a difficult thing, especially when you grow up in an environment where this sort of thing is just simply not remotely even accepted as existing, to then suddenly have to start considering its existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then try and somehow relate it then into the reasoning of what you're going through and into your own life. I had an idea.
Okay.
When she was talking about some of the rituals that were being performed on her.
Uh-huh.
With the was it the shaman or
I think she was talking about that.
Someone of that.
I think it was a shaman, but sure. I'm not sure if that's the right term.
The delicious demon.
Like the delicious dish.
Yes, kind of. Because she's like with honey and oats, and I'm like, that actually sounds kind of good. Normally when I'm hearing about things that they're using with, you know, expelling demons and stuff, it's not always super appetizing. It's, you know, some weird version of sage and, you know, having liquor, spit on you, essentially.
Uh-huh.
But oats and honey, and I was thinking, and now the delicious demon. And then you have like a demon doing a cooking show. Or maybe you do a cooking show with an exorcism at the same time.
Okay.
So you have someone trying to cook who is possessed, and while they are attempting to cook the dish, they're being the demons being expounded out of that individual.
Okay, why don't you take that idea to Food Network and see what happens?
The delicious demon.
Yes.
Oh, I think that's more of a Travel Channel type show.
Probably.
I think that really would work.
Or how about TLC? They seem to be running some spot on
spot on programming. Yes.
Right now.
They're really somewhat, you know, when it comes to learning, there's no better place to learn than TLC.
I think they're learning from their mistakes.
I don't think they ever will learn from their mistakes. Honestly, I think they've dug their pit so deep. They put so many dysfunctional people on television.
Yeah.
And now they can't get rid of them fast enough.
Yeah.
It seems. It's amazing. I mean, between Honey Boo Boo and everything else, it's just like, oh, maybe following dysfunctional lives around for 10 years or whatever, that, you know, there's probably something not quite right going on here with some folks. And then all of a sudden, eventually, it comes to surface.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you think? Maybe not the best idea.
No.
When did TLC run before they were...
John and Kate Plus 8?
Well, yeah, I mean, but before those shows kind of...
The Learning Channel?
Yeah, what were they... What did they run? I mean, they were originally had... What was, it was one of the original, like, property type shows, if I'm remembering
correctly. Trading Spaces.
Trading Spaces.
Yeah.
That was a TLC show.
I think so.
That was, like, kind of before HGTV really took that
mm-hmm.
that over. But, before that, I don't even know what they would have Did they run educational programming at some point in time?
I don't remember. All I know is they were on the cusp of reality programming.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. 855-853-4802. That's our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Kevin.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Kevin from Kentucky. I've sent you a couple of pictures and called in a couple of times with different stories. One thing I like to do while I've got your podcast on is take pictures at cemeteries. I take pictures for find a grave, and then I have built up a, more or less a kind of a photo archives and pictures of several cemeteries in our community, our county. And the one picture I sent you was taken on a February day, a Sunday. It was overcast and cloudy. It wasn't raining. It had rained earlier that day. But the picture that you see was the last picture that I took for that day. And like I said, I had no flash on my camera. There was no sun to cause any kind of reflection or anything like that. And all of a sudden, when I got home and downloaded the pictures, here's this big white ball that you can see moving from the headstone up to the center of the picture. What caused it, I don't really know. It's just kind of a strange oddity. I say I love the show. I love what you guys do. I love listening to Jenny. I wish she would tell more stories. It would be great. One of the stories I did share with you was about the penitentiary that I work in, and there's been several odd things happen there. Like I say, it is over 130 years old. So there's all kinds of different things that have gone on there, including the death penalty and stuff like that. But if you're ever in Kentucky, you can sure take a tour of the museum that they have there and see the different things that they have found and stuff like that. But one of these days, I'll call back in and share some more stories that have happened there. I haven't heard any of my stories yet, and it's okay. If they're never used, that's okay. I get to tell them. Anyway, I love what you guys do. Keep up the great work, and stay spooky. Bye.
Thank you, Kevin, for calling in and sharing that story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I never really thought of that website, the Find a Grave thing.
It's very useful. Have you ever used it?
I've not used it. I know what it is, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, it's kind of an obvious one. I wonder how often people come across orbs and such when documenting for them.
I don't know. I've used it recently. When my great-grandmother passed away about a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
I was not able to go to her funeral because it was 1,200 miles away. And just for fun one day, I Googled her name and it came up on Find a Grave, and I was able to see, you know, what her headstone and for mm-hmm. her and my great-grandfather look like and everything. So it was kind of like virtual visiting, I guess.
And it's an actual picture of the grave.
It's a picture of the headstone, yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah, it's nice when you can't actually go.
Sure.
So...
that's very cool. Thank you for sharing that story with us. And of course, we'd love to hear more of your stories. So feel free to write or call in anytime. Hey, we got an interesting thing sent into us the other day. I forgot if it was on Facebook or YouTube or someplace. Somebody said, hey, watch this YouTube link. And they sent me a link. I think it was on Facebook. It was in reference to Richard in Chattanooga.
Okay.
And this is, we just did a little special not too long ago about that whole story. And we have yet to ever hear from him again
mm-hmm.
since airing that several weeks ago. So I don't know. I've kind of resolved to the idea that we'll really probably never know what happened there after the fact. It was a clip from Talking Dead.
Okay.
On AMC.
Which is the talk show that comes after the new episodes of Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Chris Hardwick hosts it.
Okay.
And they do a little portion on there with some callers. They do it live. So they have call screeners, but every once in a while somebody gets past a call screener.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the man, and I'd love just to play it back here, but we'll get flagged for copyright, so I'm not going to play it back. But you can look it up. I believe the man said his name was Bob in Chattanooga.
Okay.
And then, so they throw to him like, hey, Bob in Chattanooga, what's up? And it sounded like Richard. Pretty close to Richard's voice.
You listened to it?
I did.
Okay.
And it goes into this ramble about like the end times. It sounded like what someone maybe possessed would say. And I don't have it verbatim word for word what was said. It was either a prank call or it was someone who was possessed. And it kind of sounded like Richard in Chattanooga. Not 100%. It's hard to tell, you know, depending on what medium you're picking up the audio from, television or whatever. But it was pretty close. And the Chattanooga thing was interesting. Didn't say Richard, but Bob. You know, generic name.
I'm going to have to listen to that because yeah. I would doubt that it's Richard.
I doubt it too, but it was just interesting because some of our listeners pointed it out going, this suspiciously kind of sounds like him.
Yes, but the thing is with the accent that mm-hmm. Richard had, which is your typical Tennessee
yeah.
accent.
Sure.
It's going to be very difficult to differentiate him
right.
from somebody else that's probably got a similar voice,
yeah.
but with the accent. So I don't know.
Very common for that area of the country.
Yeah.
So you're right. I mean, it would be, it wasn't like spot on, but it was close enough that it made me kind of raise my eyebrows going, either this is like someone who's constantly pranking people mm-hmm. with stories, or there's something wrong now, worse. I don't know. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Okay.
You
threw it out there, Richard, if you're still listening. Let us know if you're possessed or not.
Please let us know. We're curious. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's do a round of Ask Tony and Jenny.
Have you come up with the goofy game show music?
I don't have the goofy game show music.
You said you were going to do that.
I know. Hang on one second. Let's see if I can pull up some fun game show music here quickly. I'm just going to type in game show into my audio archive. Hey,
that's perfect.
I like that. Let me pull that down and
kill the other one.
Let's kill the spooky music. And here we go. This will be this is gonna be wonderful. All right. Dun, dun, dun. All right, here you go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
And now, another spectacular episode of Ask Tony and Jenny from Real Ghost Stories Online. Today's edition of Ask Tony and Jenny is brought to you by Menin. Smell better, feel better, Menin. I don't know what products they sell, but it always sounds better when it's by Menin. Now, here's Tony and Jenny. How's that?
That was special.
Wasn't that good?
That's how my life is, everybody.
What is by Menin was deodorant, right?
I think so.
By Menin, I don't know. Okay, ask Tony and Jenny. Tony and Jenny, will you ever broadcast live from a haunted house?
Probably not.
No? Number one, power would probably be an issue if it's abandoned or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, logistically, it would be very difficult, and my freak out meter would be off the chart. I just rather sit here in the office / studio and be safe and not
mm-hmm.
have to deal with things. And I don't want to have to come home with a ghost story.
Sure. I would say it's, will we ever do like a ghost show from a haunted location? You know, there's the possibility of doing some live shows and things like that down the road at, you know, theaters and such, live podcasts. So I guess a haunted location, I guess inadvertently, you know, we may be in a haunted location doing a show,
mm-hmm.
but that's, I think that's different than what they're asking. I think they're asking if, like, later we're going to, like, in a ghost hunt on the show.
No, so. I don't think we're going to ghost hunt on the show.
At least you're not.
I'm not.
Okay.
I'll phone it in if you want to go out somewhere.
I'll have you on Skype.
Yeah.
Look, Jenny, look. Jeff writes in, at what moment did you both absolute 100% realize that ghosts were real?
You know, I don't know, because it's always just been such a part of my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just always been sun comes up, sun goes down, moon comes up, goes to real. You know, I don't think I've ever had a moment where it was a realization.
Yeah, I don't think I ever did either. It's just been one of those things where my whole life it was just kind of, yeah, it was just there.
Yeah.
It was never like put to me that it wasn't. I was confused because my dad has never been a believer in ghosts.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if he still is. I don't think he does believe in it very much. But or if he does, it's, you know, he's someone who is in his ways of thinking, and that's pretty much it. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those things where I think if he were to open up that possibility in his mind, I think it's too scary of a proposition to really at this point go, yeah, I wonder if that's real, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I get that.
Here's how my upbringing was from the time that I was afraid of the dark. So that's how young I was.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in a house when I was a small child that had a very long hallway between the living room, kitchen, back to the bedrooms. And I'd have to go down that hall to get to the bathroom. And I'd be watching some TV with my parents, and I'd be afraid to go down that hall because it didn't have a switch at both ends because it was dark. And so instead of my parents saying, oh, there's no such thing as ghosts, my mom said, well, if you sing, they won't bother you. So that's kind of the upbringing I had, mm-hmm. was, you know, if you sing, they won't bother you, instead of there's no such thing as ghosts. So that was just always there.
Sure.
Which is bullshit. They'll totally bother you whether you sing or not. But that's just an example of, you know,
yeah,
how 3-year-old Jenny was taught.
I was told when you go through the woods, if you don't want bears to attack, you bang sticks together.
Now, I knew that was crap because that was on Parent Trap, the old one.
I never watched. I never saw that. That's what my aunt told me when we were hiking in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, as a child, and they were dealing with a black bear that was being spotted quite frequently amongst hikers.
And if it's not illegal and it makes you feel better, what's the harm?
It's like, oh, okay, so there's little Tony walking through the woods, banging this. It probably attracted them more than it actually made them afraid. He's got twigs. I have claws. Yeah, it's like, I wonder what the it's going to have in there. Heather writes in, aside from the fantastic stories on the show, do either of you have a favorite ghost story you've heard or read? So I think this means like outside of, you know, the stuff we had normally talked about or that we've, you know, had sent into us.
Okay.
You?
Does movies count?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Ghost and Mrs. Muir?
Was that?
It's an old black and white movie.
Okay.
It's a good one.
It's not a real story, though.
No, it's not a real story, but it's a ghost story.
Okay. One that we have talked about on the show several times, you know, Amityville has been one of those things that have always, you know, intrigued me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had, that's been something that I can't stop, you know, thinking about. I think it's probably one of my favorite cases and hauntings. I'm just starting to read a little bit more up on the, what's the one in the UK?
Enfield Poltergeist.
The Enfield Poltergeist, yeah. And I'm watching some stuff on that, and I'd like to do more on that in the coming months, because I know that's going to be the basis of the new Conjuring
mm-hmm.
movie, which should be pretty interesting. So that, from what I saw, I did get to see a documentary on that the other day that was done really well. There was one that was just a very boring documentary out there. It was like pulling teeth to get me to be able to sit through it because I couldn't get into it. I don't know why.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I can really get into even boring documentaries, but there's one that was just like, oh my God. But there's been a more recent one done, and it was like, oh, okay. I really got into it. It was like, this is a pretty messed up case.
Uh-huh.
So that one, I think, is one that I'm going to be more into in the coming months as I read up on it more.
I think a lot of people are, because I think The Conjuring 2 is supposed to come out next summer.
Yeah. And I believe BBC just did a series on it,
mm-hmm.
like a 3-night miniseries
okay.
in the UK, and it was pretty big. I've been getting a lot of folks from the UK saying, have you seen it? Have you seen it? It's like, we don't get the... We only get BBC, which I don't think ran it.
Yeah.
So, or it might have been Channel 4 over there that did. I don't know. So one of the networks over there did it. But it I want to see it, and probably it'll hit YouTube or something here eventually, or Netflix. But I'm interested in watching that in its entirety. And if anyone has a link to watch it somewhere, send it over to us. We'd love to check that out and try and check that out. One more question for Ask Tony and Jenny. For Jenny, could you write more point of view stories like you did on the Christmas episodes? And to really keep it in both your interests, perhaps a story behind one of the victims from the Titanic? Kelly McDonald writes that in.
Oh, you know, I really enjoyed that project over Christmas, but I will say doing the research into it and kind of getting to have enough knowledge on it to write it from that point of view took quite a bit of time. And it's not very often that we find a story that I can actually kind of do that with.
Mm-hmm.
So I will see what I can do. I don't make any promises. It might be a once a year thing for a while, but I will try to do more writing.
And I don't know of any ghost stories necessarily attached to a specific person of the Titanic. I mean, there may be. I'm not aware of it.
Not that other than what we've had written in, which we had a really good one not that long ago about the lookout.
Yeah, I remember that.
But, you know, it has to be just kind of like the perfect storm of information and stuff. To do that.
Sure, because there's a lot of documentation on the Christmas one that you did, so you could base it. It wasn't just Jenny making up a story. It was it was really based on something. It was based on the events that actually did transpire. So I would love to hear more, and I know a lot of people really did enjoy that. It was a lovely Christmas present.
Well, thank you. I'll see what I can do.
There you go. Well, that wraps up today's edition of Ask Tony and Jenny. RealGhostStoriesOnline.com.
Could you be any more pukey?
I'm trying to be pukey.
I know you are.
I had a boss that actually talked like that on the air. And you just kind of like look at him and like, what? Except his nose sounded plugged. Like, hey, I'm a... Blah, 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 blah. And then the worst part about it was he would try and critique you.
Oh, that's good.
And try and give you tips. And you'd like wonder why no one listened to him. It's like, have you ever listened to yourself at all? Not the greatest. Anyhow, that's the wonderful world of radio, kids. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for listening. Thanks for supporting the show if you're an EPP. If you're not yet, consider signing up to be one. We would love to have you as one. And you'll also very soon be getting EPPs. If you have not already, a link to the video. New version of Ask Tony and Jenny. And I don't do that whole pukey music thing. It's actually just us on camera asking or answering your questions. And it's questions that have not been asked on the radio show here. It's all different questions. So a little extra along with all those free bonus episodes for you as well. So there you go. Check it out. Support the show. Keep us on the air and enjoy all those extras. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.